Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
How you doing, everybody? Wednesday, middle of the week is here, and that means, well, it's Wednesday, number one. Number two, since it's 2:05, that means it's time for Sports Talk here on KGYM. Local Sports Talk, that is. 4 hours of it coming at you here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 102.3 at Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in Iowa City. On the stream at KGYMradio.com. Also find us on our free-to-download app. Head to your app store, grab it. By grab it, I mean hit the download button. It'll pop right up on your phone. You can pull us up and stream us anywhere you go on your phone, also on your smart speaker. Spencer Wagon here with you, producer Isaac along for the ride as well, with you for the next 54 minutes or so, taking you up till 3 o'clock here at KGYM. 319-366-1600, talk or text line wide open for you here on another gorgeous day outside, looking at nothing but blue skies from my vantage point here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. My phone weather app thingy says 80 degrees here in Cedar Rapids. It's a gorgeous day for April 12th. We know the weather can be rather interesting even into April, but certainly got lucky here with the last several days of weather. Lots to get to on this afternoon's program. We'll get into the NBA play-in tournament continues tonight. The Bulls and the Raptors making up game one tonight, followed by the Oklahoma City Thunder and the New Orleans Pelicans tonight as well. We'll have both those games for you here on KGYM tonight. We'll look back on last night's action. Crisis averted in Lakerland last night. They came back to beat Minnesota. And, I was wrong about that Miami-Atlanta game. Hawks were on fire last night. The Atlanta Hawks, that is. The Hawks moving on to the real thing, the real deal. The NBA playoffs. We'll get some reaction to that coming up as well later on in the show. Also got some baseball to get to. The Tampa Bay Rays still unbeaten. Now 11 straight victories for Tampa. Another very nice performance yesterday for them. Plus some history made. A former Minnesota Twin making some history for his current franchise. And courtesy of Mr. Luis Arraez, we are going to, and I'm not trying to infringe on anyone's gimmicks. My gimmicks have been infringed on numerous times on this radio program. We are going to remember some guys. Some point during the show today, courtesy of ESPN Stats and Info, Luis Arraez making some history yesterday for the Miami Marlins. We have some guys to remember as part of our baseball discussion. We'll also check out the scoreboard. Quite a few games going on here for you today. Two involving regional teams. The Chicago White Sox and Minnesota Twins are in the seventh inning up at Target Field in Minneapolis. The Twins with a 1-0 lead there. The Cubs and the Seattle Mariners going at it in the bottom half of the third from the friendly confines at Wrigley Field. The Mariners with a 2-1 lead on the Cubbies, also starting in about 90 seconds or so, at least slated to start in about 90 seconds or so. St. Louis Cardinals and the Colorado Rockies from Coors Field in Denver. We'll also have the Brewers playing during the show. 2:40 start time out in Arizona as they wrap up that series with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Will I complain about them? We will find out here later on the show. 319-366-1600. We got some college sports news to start off with, though. But known for a while, Kevin Warren, outgoing Big Ten commissioner, would soon be leaving his post as the head of the Big Ten Conference, taking over the presidency of the Chicago Bears. Pause. Not intentional there. The presidency of the Chicago Bears. The president of the Chicago Bears is his new role. But it was still a mystery as to who the new person was going to be. And the answer has been given to us by the Big Ten Conference. The Big Ten formally announcing earlier this afternoon they have hired former MLB and television executive Tony Petitti as the next commissioner of the Big Ten. So we know who he is, Tony Petitti, the next commissioner of the Big Ten. He's going to start his duties on May 15th. Well, Kevin Warren's last day as the head of the Big Ten is this Friday. This news first came out late in the day yesterday. Petitti coming out in front of a group of finalists who interviewed for the position in the past 48 hours or so. And according to ESPN, he was selected after a vote of the league's presidents and chancellors. And he's got a background in both sports and media, but not specifically in running college sports. And it kind of continues this trend that we've seen of the major conferences. You look at the Pac-12, the Big 12, and of course the Big 10, and bringing in Kevin Warren, of hiring non-traditional guys, someone who's not a college sports lifer, not a college athletic director, or you know, many ties to the sport itself, not a lot of experience in being the head of a school or a conference or being a commissioner or being in kind of those higher up roles, but he does have plenty of experience in the media landscape and in the sports media landscape. Petitti specifically, his background, he has worked for ABC Sports, CBS, also the MLB Network. He also helped, and this might, I don't know, trigger or create fond memories in some folks, the BCS, the Bowl Championship Series, back when he was with ABC. Also did some work with the NCAA tournament while at CBS and worked in the NFL as well. He also, as I mentioned, has experience with the major leagues, Major League Baseball. He became the head of MLB Network and eventually worked his way up to become one of the top executives in the major leagues. He's the former COO of Major League Baseball, where he succeeded current Commissioner Rob Manfred, a name that I know is, you know, well liked around these parts, well liked around baseball. Petitti succeeded him back in 2015. So he's got experience in media, experience in sports media, kind of follows that trend of being you know, the kind of the outsider, the guy with, you know, maybe not a lot of experience, but enough with, and the term I've seen a lot of in reading up on Tony Petitti specifically is relationship building. You know, he's been around the block. He knows a lot of people, can have conversations with people and, you know, get from point A to point B in a conversation or a deal pretty well. That's basically what I've seen in people analyzing this hire for the Big Ten. So kind of an interesting spot to be in, you know, these conferences. And again, the Big Ten hiring Kevin Warren as their last commissioner maybe kind of started this trend, if you will, with bringing him in. Guy who was mostly an NFL guy, had him come in and run the Big Ten Conference. And you know, had a mixed tenure. You know, reading up on, you know, again, this hire in context of Kevin Warren's departure, and look at how his tenure started. You know, in the Big Ten, it started with the global pandemic, and you know, what do you do with athletics? How does athletics fit into the mold? And took a lot of heat, obviously, for his handling of the COVID pandemic and how the league canceled the 2020 football season. You know, he got backlash, you know, from both inside the conference and from fans and players and parents outside of the conference office walls. Big Ten eventually reversed their decision, obviously, in 2020. They did play that shortened season. So that was a low point for the Big Ten. You look at the high points, well, securing a giant media rights deal. That's going to be Kevin Warren's legacy right there, a big part of his legacy, bringing in those agreements with Fox and CBS and NBC and, you know, seeing a kind of a historic shift in ESPN, not being a part of how the Big Ten's media rights deal has played out for the first time in forever. That's going to be an interesting kind of, you know, side note to it, and how does that work out for the Big Ten? Is it going to behoove them to not have you know, ESPN a part of their package, and stick with the Fox and the CBS and the NBC and go in those kind of those NFLized scheduling that we talked about for a college football Saturday. Have to see how it works out yet, of course, but that's going to be a big part of it. And then, of course, continued expansion, USC and UCLA, bringing them in to the Big Ten fold starting in 2024. That's going to be a big part of Kevin Warren's legacy, too. So does it behoove the Big Ten to bring in someone who doesn't have college sports experience, direct college sports experience? He wasn't the athletic director at a handful of schools. He wasn't the conference leader for the commissioner, I guess, obviously is the word I'm looking for a smaller league. And that's a question a lot of people are going to ask. It's seemed to work out for the Big 12 so far. I think the jury's still out on the Pac-12, considering they can't come up with a media rights deal. And, Kevin Warren, obviously, and the decision for USC and UCLA to bolt the Pac-12 for the Big 10 coming up in a couple of years, that's certainly going to make things harder for the Pac-12 to get what they think they deserve. There's more rumors and rumors every day, it seems like, about the Pac-12 and where they might be looking at to partner with. The CW, I think, was the latest network to come out with, or at least not come out with anything, but be linked to through inside sources as a possible landing spot for Pac-12 games. Make of that what you will. But, Big Ten, it certainly is in a good spot. The media rights deal with Petiti coming in is done. It's sealed up. Begins this summer and runs through 2030. So you got 7 years of not having to worry about media renegotiation. Now, granted, you could put an asterisk next there or next to that statement that I just made. Maybe they bring in the media guys so they can renegotiate. Should they add more teams in? I don't know. That's certainly a possibility. We could start up the whole discussion of is realignment done, and I think a good chunk of you would say no. We hear the rumors about the Pac-12 potentially losing more teams to the Big 12, those four corner schools that seem to always be, at least lately, been rumored to be looking longingly at the Big 12. If that happens, what's the domino effect for it? Maybe that's where having a guy like Petiti with a lot of sports media experience and negotiating contracts and getting deals done and building relationships is helpful for the Big Ten going forward. And then, of course, bringing in the new members, USC and UCLA, integrating them, figuring out what you do with divisions, if they exist, if they don't exist. How do you balance out the teams, the travel? How do you make sure that you say you're focused on student athlete well-being? How do you make it actually so that you lessen the blow of student athletes being asked to travel across the country for college football, college basketball, baseball, softball, all the other Olympic sports here starting in 2024. And, it's making sure everybody's happy in the Big Ten. I don't see how you wouldn't be happy. You're getting a ton of money from the media rights deals alone, but making sure you can sustain, success, sustain strength, and continue to be competitive. In the college sports landscape, especially in the college football world, dealing with things like NIL and continued transfer portal stories and all the different things that have popped up within the last year. Certainly not an easy task for someone who does not have direct college sports experience. But obviously there has been some confidence instilled by the university presidents, athletic directors, coaches as well, for him to get the approval and the nod and the hire today by the Big Ten Conference against Tony Petiti, the next commissioner of the Big Ten, beginning his tenure on May 15th. 319-366-1600. What do you think of the hire? Good or bad for the Big Ten to go with, again, someone who doesn't have a lot of college experience. How do you feel about the hire? Are you indifferent about the hire? 319-366-1600. Big Ten news coming out earlier today. We'll talk a little bit more about things from a basketball perspective, not from the college side, but we'll get into the Big Ten coming up here as we get closer and closer to, of course, football season, still spring practice coming up for the Hawkeyes. That's still going on as we speak, of course. Their spring final spring practice coming up next week, and we'll get further and further into the changes and the new season, of course, in several months now as things get going for the new season. Again, 319-366-1600. Ken checking in on the text line, talking about transfer news. There was some transfer news, in case you missed the headline earlier today. This was a story that, I don't know if it broke, but it was put out there. I think it was Wisconsin Booster who may have put out the tweet. It was last week, even. Rink Mast, player from Bradley, big man from Bradley. If you're familiar with him, he, of course, played against Northern Iowa and Drake. So you and I fans, Drake fans, responsible, or not responsible, but familiar with him. That's the word I'm looking for. There was some thought that maybe he was targeting the Hawkeyes going forward to be his next stop. He did enter the transfer portal after his season at Bradley, which was a very nice one. Helped Bradley get to the tournament championship game. They did get to the NIT. Of course, they lost to Drake in that championship game earlier this year. And there was some thought that maybe some insider intel that he would be an addition for Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes out of the portal. That is not going to happen. He's going to be playing against the Hawkeyes going forward. Nebraska announcing and Rink Mast announcing himself earlier today. He is going to the University of Nebraska. Mast saying earlier today that he feels like Nebraska is the right fit for me, where he could still showcase his skills and be a big part of the team. That first reported by a number of different sources, but Rink Mast, he confirmed that news on his social media and told Husker Online through the On3 network as well of his decision. So power forward off the board. That is some big news there. Certainly disappointing for Iowa fans that were hoping to bring him in. Of course, Iowa bringing in Ben Cricke this week from Valpo. That name was talked about earlier in the week. The transfer news from him coming in. Still some possibilities out there. BJ Mack, Jordan Miner, as Ken talks about in his text message. Certainly still some possibilities out there. See if Iowa can land any of them, but will not be the destination with Rink Mast, or for Rink Mast, as he has announced his commitment to play for Fred Hoiberg and the Cornhuskers next season. So check that name off the list of potential targets for Fran McCaffrey and the men's basketball team. 319-366-1600. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll talk a little bit more about basketball. That NBA play-in tournament got underway last night. The Wolves, well, they lost to the Lakers in overtime, and the Atlanta Hawks are moving on as well. Talk about those games, look at tonight's games as well as the playoffs draw nearer. We have some scheduling updates for the playoffs as well for the NBA. Get into that in just a couple minutes. It's Spencer on Sports with you for a Wednesday on the Gym.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
Good morning. I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And it's going to be sunny, windy, and warm today with temperatures in the low 80s and winds gusting as high as 30 miles per hour. The windy and dry conditions leads to elevated fire risk, and a red flag warning has been posted for this afternoon. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Midwest One believed in us and gave us the money to get started, and it was great.
We're talking with Jack Piper of Jimmy Jack's Rib Shack.
In 2005, they were there when we opened Jimmy Jack's Rib Shack. They've been there every step of the way with funding and great feedback on how to expand our brand. Midwest One Bank has been great, and with the recent uncertain times, we got through it. Thanks to Midwest One Bank.
Midwest One Bank, simply better banking. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Compost is great for your garden and a fantastic way to give your lawn a healthy lift. And it's free at the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. You can also use compost around trees and shrubs and cover them with a layer of wood chips, which are also free at the Solid Waste Agency. Get your yard and garden in shape. If you're a Linn County resident, pick up free compost and wood chips at the Solid Waste Agency location next to Mount Trashmore. Get ours and all the details at solidwasteagency.org.
Come to the largest card and collectible show in Cedar Rapids this Sunday from 9 to 3 at the Ramada Hotel, 33rd Avenue Southwest in Cedar Rapids. Free admission, door prize. Over 70 tables. Presented by JC Shows. Details on Facebook at JC Shows.
Take your favorite sports talk programming with you anywhere on the go with a free KGYM Sports Radio app. Local sports talk in the afternoon and ESPN all day, right in your pocket. Hang out with your friends from the gym by searching KGYM Sports Radio in the App Store today.
All right, back at 225, moments away from 226 with Spencer on Sports here at KGYM at 319-366-1600. Gym class on the way between 3 and 4. Todd Brommelkamp show coming up between 4 and 6. Got NBA action for you tonight here on KGYM. The Bulls and the Raptors kicking things off. So Bulls fans, we got the national radio call from ESPN Radio tonight starting just after 6. Followed by, should be decent game. I like these two teams. They're not my preferred team, obviously, in the NBA, but some nice young talent of both OKC and with New Orleans as well. The Thunder and the Pelicans. Tonight will be the second game, doubleheader play-in tournament action for you starting at 6 tonight here on KGYM at 319-366-1600, 8636 with the question, where'd that music come from? I turned the music down because I'm talking over it, then it just magically turned back up. I didn't touch anything. The ghosts, Isaac didn't do it either. I don't know. The gremlins have been active in the studio. I don't know what we did to make them mad, but burn some incense or something in here. I don't know. The engineering staff's listening. Everything's fine. We're good. Don't know what happened there. Maybe I bumped something and I didn't realize. I don't know. Yikes. Yeah, 8636. Sorry about that with the question of the text line. But Evan Bronze, we learned the news, and I saw your text come through, 8636, during the break. We learned, it's going on a month now ago, from, I believe it was On3 Sports that reported Evan Bronze from Iowa City, who was at Belmont, was likely to transfer, and the report was that he had told his teammates he was going to be transferring to Iowa. Since then, really nothing new has happened. I know Scott and Mark from the gym class had David Eicholt on from 24/7 Sports last week, and still kind of the same thing. They're still anticipated he will be coming in to play for Iowa, but no new information as far as I'm aware. I did a quick social media search, and the last posts were from late March, March 20th to be specific, when the rumor was announced. So we know as much as you know. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. 319-366-1600. Something else interesting as well before we move on to the NBA here from women's basketball. It does not have to do with Iowa, so I don't have any transfer news to break here. Of course, the news yesterday was Shatia Wettering entering the transfer portal, opening up a potential spot, opening up a spot for a potential transfer for Lisa Bluter and the Iowa women for next season. This is interesting here. South Carolina and Notre Dame on the women's side, they are set to open the next women's basketball season in Paris. So overseas, they're playing in Paris. School is announcing that on Wednesday. It's going to be November 6th, and it'll be the first time an NCAA regular season game has played in the French capital. Dawn Staley, head coach of the Gamecocks, reading this from the Associated Press, she told them, playing Notre Dame in Paris is a once-in-a-lifetime experience for student-athletes, and they are excited to be there. Definitely taking two really good basketball teams, obviously a team that was number one throughout the entire season until Iowa knocked them off in the Final Four and pairing them up against Notre Dame in Paris certainly will be a great way to grow the game and grow the interest, especially overseas in women's basketball. But that news coming out earlier today, I thought that was kind of cool. Be interesting to see if there's always preseason tournaments, obviously, but if we could see Iowa play in maybe kind of an interesting locale like that. See if that opportunity arises here in 2023 for the latter half of this season. 319-366-1600-230. Let's tell you about our poll question first before we dive into the NBA action from last night. It has to do with who you think is going to win tonight. It's courtesy of Hawkeye Title and Settlement, Highway 1 West in Iowa City. Which two teams will win tonight? That is your poll question. We gave you all the options. Is it going to be Bulls and Thunder, Bulls and Pelicans, Raptors and Thunder, or Raptors and Pelicans? Currently, votes are split right down the middle. Bulls and Thunder and Bulls and Pelicans. So people picking the Bulls out there. The Bulls are a underdog tonight, at least from a betting perspective, anywhere from a 6 to 6.5 point underdog tonight to Toronto at Scotiabank Arena in Toronto. And then New Orleans holding steady as a 5.5 point favorite at home over the Oklahoma City Thunder here for tonight. Again, this is kind of the interesting part of the play-in tournament. If you're not familiar how it works, the loser tonight goes home. So if the Bulls and the Thunder lose, they're done. But the winner moves on to Friday to play the two teams that lost last night in Tuesday's play-in action. And then the winner of that game Friday moves on to be the number 8 seed in both the East and the West, respectively. So opportunity here to you know, play your way in. That's why they call it the play-in tournament. Shocking, I know. But I think some intriguing matchups tonight. I think the Bulls certainly have a chance to pull off a win. It's really hard to win on the road, especially in a play-in setting. But it's win or go home for all these teams. So certainly expect them all to be on their A game tonight, because there's no opportunity, unlike Miami and Minnesota last night. You don't get an opportunity again. If you get bounced tonight, you're done. Your season's over. So playing with really nothing to lose for all these teams tonight. Last night, I picked Miami and the Lakers. I was 1-1 last night in my picks. Kind of surprised at Atlanta. Maybe I shouldn't have been so surprised, but Miami missing a ton of easy shots last night. Trae Young had a nice game, 25, 8, and 7. DeJounte Murray with 18 points. Sadiq Bey had 17. And then Clint Capella, just a rebounding machine last night. 21 boards off the bench for the Hawks as they beat Miami in Miami, 116-105. The bench in particular was one of the big keys to that game. Kyle Lowry was the leading scorer for the Heat last night. 33 points off the bench to lead Miami. He had nearly 100% of the bench scoring last night for the Heat. The Hawks bench outscored them 53-37. So big night for the bench for Atlanta. Got what they needed out of Trae Young last night. And now the Hawks are in. The Atlanta Hawks are in the postseason, officially in the playoffs. They are the 7th seed, and they will take on the Boston Celtics in the first round. Their head coach Quinn Snyder talked about the challenges of facing the Celtics to start up the playoffs for his Atlanta Hawks team. And let's try that again. Need to have the right button pushed. Here we go.
They're really connected offensively. And, you know, I think it's more than them just having, like, a lot of weapons. I think they really they have a feel for one another and how they play together. And that you can see that the way they play. I mean, their reads are terrific, and they've got a lot of guys that can make plays, and they want to do that for one another. Makes them really, really hard to guard. You know, I think their versatility defensively, you know, is unique also. You know, some of the different lineups they can put on. You know, I don't know who the defensive player of the year will be this year, but I know Marcus Smart. You know, like, I have tons of respect for him. You know, I just think he's one of those guys that is a heartbeat, and they're just really good.
Hawks head coach Quinn Snyder there talking about the first round matchup as the seventh seed going up against the second seeded Celtics. Game one of that series is Saturday afternoon, a 2:30 Central Time start, and it will be broadcast on ESPN. The Lakers move on. They are the seventh seed in the West after rallying back to beat the Timberwolves last night, 108-102. LeBron with 30 and 10 last night. Another double-double from Anthony Davis with 24 points and 15 rebounds. Dennis Schroeder chipping in 21 last night as well. The Wolves had a lead at the end of the third. They're outscored 19-12 in the fourth and then 10-4 in overtime as they let that one slip away. They'll still get an opportunity, like I mentioned. They'll play for the eighth seed coming up on Friday night, but one slipping away there as LeBron and the Lakers move on to be the seventh seed in the Western Conference playoffs. They will play the Memphis Grizzlies in the first round, and game one of that series is set for Sunday afternoon, a 2 o'clock tip-off on ABC. We do know the game times for Sunday, by the way, for the playoffs, if you're curious. Lakers Grizzlies starts everything off on Sunday. The Bucks, the number one seed, they will start what they hope is a title run in Milwaukee against the number eight seed from the East. That is a 4:30 Central Time start. Suns Clippers at 7 o'clock Sunday night, followed by Nuggets, the number one seed in the West, and the eight seed in the West, whoever that may be, at 9:30 Sunday night. So that is the schedule for Sunday. We've talked a little bit about the schedule for Saturday, which has the Sixers and the Nets at noon, Hawks-Celtics at 2:30, Cavs-Knicks at 5, and the Kings, Keegan Murray and the Kings, and the Golden State Warriors, the defending champs, are the sixth seed at 7:30 Saturday night. So primetime Kings basketball for those of you interested in taking that in Saturday night. But again, tonight we've got Chicago and Toronto at 6. That's on ESPN TV, also on ESPN Radio, and the Pelicans and the Thunder immediately following right here on ESPN Radio, also on ESPN TV. So that's the latest we have for you from the association, the NBA, as the play-in tournament starts to wind down. We'll have those games, by the way, Friday for you as well. Another doubleheader to determine the eight seeds. Those will happen for you coming up later on this week. 2:37, we got some baseball to get to. We'll talk about that. The Rays, 11-0. We've got games in action. Plus, as promised, we will remember a few guys on the other side of this timeout with Spencer at Sports here in the gym.
Okay, on the grass, but out of the street. Perfect.
Why are you raking your leaves to the curb?
Tomorrow's our garbage day, so the leaf vacuum will be around too.
Leaves just go in your Yardi cart, don't they?
You can, but this time of year you can also rake them in a long row on the grass beside the street, and the vacuum truck will pick them all up.
I don't have time to rake right now.
That's okay. They'll be picking up through April 28th on garbage day. You've got time.
How do you know all this?
I got the message from crnewsnow.com.
Oh, I didn't get the message.
Get the message. Go to crnewsnow.com.
The Earth is a big ball of energy. E&J Geothermal wants to help you tap into it. Spring is an ideal time to have E&J install a geothermal system to heat and cool your home. An energy-efficient Climate Master geothermal system from E&J Geothermal saves money on your energy bills, sure. But right now, you'll save even more with the extended federal and state geothermal tax credits. The folks at E&J Geothermal would be happy to tell you all about it. Find out more at ejgeothermal.com.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-511-3535. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-511-3535. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-511-3535. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-511-3535. 800-511-3535.
And we're back at 2:39 with Spencer at Sports here at KGYM at 319-366-1600. Gym class on the way between 3 and 4. Todd Brommelkamp show on the way between 4 and 6. If you missed anything from yesterday's show or even earlier in this show, you can check out the podcast at KGYMradio.com. Take it through the sports headlines of the day, our reaction to those headlines. We do it every weekday from 2 until 3 here on KGYM. Again, 319-366-1600. We'll check out the Major League scoreboard coming up here in just a bit. Cubs still losing to the Mariners in the fifth inning. White Sox down to the Twins. That game getting toward the end there. We'll talk about that here momentarily this afternoon. But in the baseball world, some interesting things popping up. I want to get to this story, too. Isaac and I were talking about this before the show today. Potential expansion city candidate, and it might not be where you think. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a little bit. But first, checking out the headlines from the baseball world last night. Boy, it was a heck of a night for offense, a heck of a night for comebacks and history being made. Just a really interesting night in the major leagues last night. The Cubs, they fell behind 7-1 after two innings last night, scored 8 runs in the third, ended up winning 14-9. That third inning featured a 2-run homer from Trey Mancini plus a grand slam from Nelson Velasquez in that game. The Cardinals, they beat the Rockies 9-6. Nolan Gorman had a go-ahead solo home run in the ninth there. The Brewers got, well, what they were expecting from this season from Corbin Burns after two shaky starts. They beat Arizona 7-1, getting 8 strikeouts in 8 innings, a 3-hitter from Corbin Burns. Willy Adames, Rowdy Tellez, and Mike Brasso each with a solo home run in the win there. Twins beat the White Sox 4-3 in 10 innings. The Twins getting a getting the winning run on a throwing error in the 10th. By the White Sox, so a 4-3 game there. And then last night, the Royals falling in 10 innings, a walk-off home run for Jonah Heim, a 3-run homer for the Texas Rangers in 10 innings there to beat the Kansas City Royals. The interesting stuff happened all across Major League Baseball last night. Let's just kind of go down it here if you missed it. Some history made, or history tied, I guess, in Baltimore, as Ryan Mountcastle tied a single-game franchise record with 9 RBI last night. He had a 3-run homer and a grand slam as Baltimore beat Oakland 12-8. The last person to do it was Eddie Murray back in 1985. Ryan Mountcastle with some power last night against the Oakland A's in the 12-8 victory. A walk-off for Pittsburgh did not make a winner of Mitch Keller last night. He got saddled with a no decision, but a solid start for the Cedar Rapids native. 6 innings pitched, 6 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, and struck out 7. It was Jiwon Bae, the rookie. If you've been on social media, if you are on social media, you've probably seen the video of, I believe he's from Korea. I could be completely wrong on that, but the call from his home country of his walk-off home run is rather exciting if you have not seen that yet. But he had the walk-off to beat the Astros last night 7-4. The story in baseball continues, or one of the big stories in baseball continues to be the Tampa Bay Rays, now 11-0, beating the Boston Red Sox last night 7-2. 4 solo home runs. They continued to hit the ball out of the park. Isak Paredes, Yandy Diaz, Brandon Lau, and Josh Lowe, spelled the same but different pronunciations for Lau and Lowe. They hit each hit solo home runs. Shane McClanahan was magnificent. 5 innings pitched, gave up a run on 2 hits, walked 4, and struck out 9. And the Rays are now 11-0. The 11-game win streak start the year for Tampa, now tied for the 5th longest streak to begin a season in MLB history. Last team to win all that many games in a row was the 1987 Milwaukee Brewers. Their streak stopped at 13, along with the 82 Atlanta Braves. I know Todd Brommelkamp remembered one of those teams earlier this week. Still looking at the St. Louis Maroons. If they can get to 21 straight, they're going to lose at some point, I feel like. But if they can get to 21 wins, they will surpass the 1884 St. Louis Maroons for the longest win streak to begin a regular season. Some interesting stats when it comes to the Rays' start. They were 25th out of 30 teams last year when it came to home runs. They are on pace to go well above that. They have 29 homers this season, which is eight more than the next closest team. They matched the 2000 Cardinals for the most home runs through 11 games in MLB history. They've hit 29 home runs, but allowed just 20 runs total as a pitching staff here to start the season. So incredible stuff from Tampa Bay. Some people saying, okay, well, they've played teams that are not very good to start the year. Granted, you know, they played the Tigers, they played the Nationals, they played the A's. Yes, that is all true, but still, you have to give credit where credit is due. They've played all the games in front of them, and they are the hottest team in baseball right now with that 11-0 mark. Looking at their schedule upcoming here, they've got Boston for one more. That's tonight at 5:40. Actually, two more. I take that back. Tonight at 5:40, tomorrow at 12:10. You've also got three at Toronto. I feel like the Rays' streak will end at Toronto at some point this weekend. I don't know if the... I think Boston could get them for at least one. We'll see. You know, they've got two games left with them. That would be 13, which would match the 87 Brewers. And then... yeah, potentially could be going for 14 in a row as they start up that series at Toronto on Friday night. But they've got Toronto, Cincinnati, the White Sox, and Houston all coming up for Tampa. So we'll see if that hot streak can continue on. But 11-0 for the Tampa Bay Rays, pretty impressive stuff for them. The other part of the big story in baseball last night, one of the stories, maybe it was a little bit, yeah, I don't know, happened with the Miami Marlins, so I don't know how many people were, you know, 100% paying attention, unless you're a Marlins fan or you're a Twins fan, fondly looking back on Luis Arraez and his time with your favorite ball club. But some history made, the first time in franchise history they've had a player hit for the cycle. Luis Arraez last night going 4-for-5 with a home run, drove in two runs, the first cycle in Marlins history, and before last night, they were the only active franchise to never have a player hit for the cycle. He leads the league in batting average, Arraez does, after being traded from Minnesota to Miami with a .537 average, .596 on base percentage. And here is where the remembering of some guys comes in. Arraez hit for the cycle in his 12th game with the Marlins, which is tied for the fourth fewest games into a player's tenure with the team since 1900. So hitting for the cycle with the fewest games into their tenure with the team. He joins an exclusive club that includes, prepare yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, Darryl Ward, May 26, 2004. He was with the Pittsburgh Pirates at the time. Luis Arraez has tied him with 12 games into his tenure. Benji Molina, July 16th of 2010 with the Texas Rangers. Orlando Hudson, April 13th of 2009. He was eight games into his tenure with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And then going all the way back to 1918, Cardinal fans, do you remember Cliff Heathcoat? Well, he has the record since 1900. Fewest games into their tenure with the team to hit for the cycle, Cliff Heathcoat did it in six games back in June of 1918 with the Cardinals. So there you go. We have remembered several guys. Cliff Heathcoat. Blast from the past. I was way before my time, but six games. That's pretty impressive because, you know, comparing 1918 MLB to 2023 is dangerous stuff, but still. Impressive. Impressive nonetheless. Do it six games into your tenure with the team. That's certainly a noteworthy accomplishment. But the first since Benji Molina did it in 2010. Did it in nine games. Luis Arraez did it in 12 games with the Marlins last night. It's hard to believe. I mean, think of all the talent the Marlins have had. And I guess nothing should surprise me about the Marlins and their franchise. But you think of the talent the Marlins have had in their organization, you know, Giancarlo Stanton and Christian Yelich and on and on. You can just list guys up and down the JT Realmuto, thinking of guys who are currently in the major leagues. No one ever hit for the cycle for them before until Arraez did it last night against Philadelphia. Kind of interesting to see that stat last night. Quick check of the scoreboard here. Yankees lead the Guardians 4-3. That is in the bottom half of the ninth. Mets are up on the Padres 5-2 in the eighth. Mariners lead the Cubs 2-1. That game in the sixth. Cardinals and Rockies tied up at one apiece. That game in the bottom half of the third. Brewers and Diamondbacks just underway from Arizona. Two finals in the books. Astros beat the Pirates 7-0. And the Twins, a 3-1 winner over the Chicago White Sox up at Target Field. 319-366-1600. I mentioned a possible expansion city for Major League Baseball. We'll tell you about that to wrap it up on the other side of this timeout. Spencer on Sports, back in 60 on the Gym.
The Venture X card from Capital One gives you premium travel benefits, perfect for seeing Taylor Swift the Eras Tour. Presented by Capital One. Ooh, I do love her. Earn 5x miles on flights and 10x miles on hotels through Capital One Travel.
Enjoy your stay in Suite 13.
Whoa, 13? That's Taylor's lucky number. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Yes, we do have availability. Those dates for how many guests?
Andrea's Boutique Hotel is the destination to tie the knot.
Oh, you want the whole property?
She needs an assistant to catch the bookings bouquets.
249 guests, huh? Oh, and three dogs.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Back at 251, moments away from 252 with Spencer at Sports here on KGYM at 319-366-1600. One other piece of baseball news, Cub fans. Ian Happ getting a 3-year extension worth $61 million. That, according to multiple sources, including ESPN's Jesse Rogers. Rogers reporting the deal contains a full no-trade clause for Ian Happ. He was set to become a free agent after the season, but will remain in Chicago through at least 2026, according to the reports. So Ian Happ locked in with that 3-year extension for the Cubbies. So mention this, and this is, if we could talk maybe this summer, get into cities you'd like to see an expansion franchise in. But this is interesting. There's been a lot of talk about maybe a little realignment in baseball. The Oakland A's, it seems all but certain they're going to be no longer in Oakland in the near future, likely going to Las Vegas. Well, there is talk about expanding Major League Baseball. I've heard and seen stories written about, oh, here's why Nashville is a great spot, or Portland, or there's a bunch of cities being thrown around for potential expansion. Well, add Salt Lake City possibly to the list. A consortium led by the former owner of the Utah Jazz is planning to pursue a Major League Baseball franchise in the coming years. It's a group called Big League Utah, headed by longtime Jazz owner Gail Miller, is going to join Nashville's Music City Baseball and the Portland Diamond Project in lobbying to join the current 30 MLB organizations. Of course, Las Vegas is considered the prime destination for a franchise as well. They're a strong candidate for Oakland, but this would be an expansion franchise. And like we mentioned, Nashville and Portland already have these kind of exploratory projects out there, these projects that are trying to bring Major League Baseball to their city. Now it sounds like Salt Lake City is vying to become the next expansion city for Major League Baseball. According to ESPN's Jeff Passan, Major League Baseball has said, well, we're not really going to expand right now. We want to see what happens to the A's and the Tampa Bay Rays first. But Rob Manfred did tell ESPN last year that he would, quote, love to get to 32 teams, end quote. Of course, Salt Lake very popular. They have the Jazz there. They have Isaac, and Isaac was informing me of the soccer teams that, or soccer team, and that is in Salt Lake City earlier. So could they support Major League Baseball? That is the question. And some of the information, and you can read this article on ESPN.com, this group is citing, is the population growth in Salt Lake City, saying, hey, we've got loyal fans, we've got people here, we've got a stronger media market. They leaders of the Salt Lake group saying that their media market is much larger than four current teams, including the Padres, Royals, Reds, and Brewers. And they say there's going to be a lot of people still coming into this area to support our team. So Salt Lake City, a potential spot for a major league expansion franchise. It'd be interesting to see, you know, because if all three cities, I can't imagine all three cities would get a team. Like I mentioned with Portland and Nashville and Salt Lake City, you got to get another team in there, right? You want to keep it an even number. You don't want to have uneven divisions. So something to watch. Obviously, nothing is a sure bet, but there is work being done to potentially attract a major league franchise to Salt Lake City. A couple other cities named in this article, too. Charlotte, North Carolina, they've got a AAA team, White Sox AAA team, and a potential of returning Major League Baseball to Montreal. Bring back the Expos. Of course, the Expos moved to D.C., and the Nationals are what were the Expos going forward. So something to watch. Might be able to dive into that a little bit more this summer as we get into here our summer of discussion of Major League Baseball. That wraps up the show today. Gym class is on the way between 3 and 4. Todd Brommelkamp on the way between 4 and 6, followed by the NBA at 6. Have a great rest of the day.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey.